This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 77. And on this episode, we are talking about five strategies that took me from zero to $750,000 in digital course sales in the last 2.5 years. So if you are looking to scale your digital courses to the next level, this training is for you. So stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. And I'm pretty stoked to be kind of flipping the script a little bit today. The last couple of shows we've talked about, I've called it kind of the getting started series of like getting started building your email list, getting started understanding online course businesses. And now I want to flip the script and talk about what about the more advanced stuff? You know, we've surveyed our audience and we know about half of our audience is kind of getting started and about half of our audience is doing this full time as of the last time we sent out a survey. So I thought, how fun would it be to serve both halves of our audience back to back like this? And so if you're just getting started, this is still going to be awesome information for you. And if you're getting kind of more advanced, this is going to be incredible information for you too. So stay tuned, lean in, because we're going to have a blast. And I've got a crazy big announcement at the end of this, so you'll definitely want to stick through to the end. So with that being said, let's dive in. I have five really specific strategies that I think are kind of responsible for really moving the needle in my course business. Now, we kind of built from zero to 100K without me being in a mastermind, without me having, you know, any one-on-one coaches, but I did really lean into my education. I took online courses. I did, you know, some consulting with people. I went to events, but I quickly realized that there was kind of this limit. I realized that there was this limit back at the end of 2015 into early 2016 when I joined my first mastermind. And I was at an event in New York for this mastermind. There were some really awesome people there. I was talking with James Wedmore, who you've probably heard about before on this podcast. And he also had a guest there for us, Devin Duncan, who if you listen to Amy Porterfield's show, you may be familiar with Devin. He works with Amy Porterfield kind of behind the scenes of her business. And I got to meet them both. And I found that there was this huge issue in my business that it's actually super common, which is I was launching or trying to launch back to back to back, right? If I just did a challenge every month and I hustled and I worked for it, then, you know, then I would have a big business. And it turns out that's really not the case. And both Devin and James kind of said, you know, you really have to plan for these launches. You can't just decide tomorrow you're going to do a big launch. You can't just decide 2 weeks from now you're going to launch. And that's what I had been doing. And that's what a lot of us do when we're getting started, because we're trying to figure out what works. If it works once, let's do it again and let's do it as fast and quick as we can. But I found out that if I wanted to scale my business, I couldn't be constantly trying to launch. And I was introduced to this concept really by James. He said, look, what if you decide you're going to launch 3 months from now and you're going to spend the next 3 months getting ready, whether that's running ads, creating content, writing emails, and talking to your email list and your audience about all the importance of what's to come. And this was just a radically different idea for me, but it made a world of difference. The first time we did that, we 3X'd the revenue in our launch, and then we essentially about 3X'd that again over the next year to a point where our biggest launch was over $170,000 revenue with over $100,000 profit, which is pretty darn cool, right? So we realized that we can't be trying to launch over and over again. So if you're kind of capping out right now, ask yourself, am I trying to launch a big launch every month? Now, little asterisk here. Yeah, we still do little pop-up promotions. We might do an affiliate promotion. I might do a challenge. But when it comes to like the big launches, the stuff that I want to bring in a big chunk of revenue, what, like in one foul swoop, we're trying even into next year. I'm already planning out my 2018. We're not doing it more than once a quarter, because if we do, we don't have the time to actually prep and gear up for a big launch. Now, I think that that perfectly kind of segues into the second strategy. So to recap, strategy number one to kind of scale the business is stop trying to launch over and over and over again and start really planning and gearing up for launches. And when I say gearing up for, I mean creating your content, getting your audience ready, and running ads for months in advance to get ready for a big push of traffic, leads, sales, growth, right? Our second strategy, and this was a big one, was launch forecasting and planning. Now, in the first year of my business, pretty much the first year, I would do things like, well, I want to have a $20,000 launch and I have $5,000 to spend on ads, so let's make it happen, right? That was my launch plans, right? Maybe I would be a little more in depth. I would say, we're going to do two webinars and I want to get a couple thousand people signed up because I think that'll make X number of dollars. And I was really just kind of setting a launch goal. I wasn't forecasting or planning my launch. And we made this big shift, which is our launches now, we forecast everything and we plan everything. And it's just this massive, massive shift. Now, if you look at my launch, let's look at a launch in 2015. I can think of a very specific one. I launched my Facebook ads program. And this is what I said. I have about $2,000 budget for ads, and I want to make $40,000. And I'm going to do two webinars. That was the extent of my planning. Now, don't get me wrong. Did I map out my webinars and write some sales sequences? Sure. But that was really like our guidepost, right? Now, let's fast forward to a more recent launch. The launch of my challenge program that I did in February of 2017. And this one was totally different. Instead of just saying, hey, here's what we want to do, first thing I did was said, okay, what exactly do we want to achieve in this launch? And we started by setting very specific goals. I knew exactly what I wanted to spend on Facebook ads because I mapped out how many leads we needed and set a budget based on that. So instead of saying, ooh, what should our budget be? I said, okay, let's set a goal to spend $25,000 because it should generate this amount of leads. Our goal was to generate just over 5,000 leads. Now, we ended up achieving that and I was pretty happy about that. That was our low end goal. The second thing we did was we set multiple goals. We started using what's called the good, better, best goal system. Now, everybody has a version of this. We learned about it in The 90-Day Year by Todd Herman, but it's in a lot of books, which is basically we don't just have one goal, we have a range of goals that we know what we want to achieve. So that was the first thing. We set our revenue goals of like, we want to make 100, 150, 200. How many leads do we need for each of these? And how much is that going to cost in ads? So we figured out what was our revenue goal, how many leads did we want to generate, and what did that create for our budget? Then we went a step further and we actually really planned out this launch at length. All of our big launches now have what we call a master reference file, and it's just a Google Doc, but it links to everything. This launch, we worked with an ads person, but we had all of our ads written. Right? So I wrote all of the ads. I created, we call them creative briefs. We learned that from working with an ad agency. That's what you call it. Creative briefs. So I wrote ad copy, ad images, pixel codes, and I sent them over to my ads person. We also mapped out the entire launch schedule for both ads and emails. At no point in the launch were we like, oh, what are we going to do today? We knew before the launch even kicked off how every day was going to go. We wrote templates for all of our webinar reminders so that everybody on the team knew what they looked like. And if anything was missing, my team could go in and check it. We have customer service FAQs. We had all of the emails in one place. We were tracking on a day-to-day basis our ads and our sales once the cart opened. We can actually go into our launch from February of 2017, and I can tell you, here's what we spent on ads on February 18th, right? And I'll actually tell you, on February 18th, we spent $1,035.55, generated 64 new leads at about $16 a lead. Now, that's not completely accurate because we did some other stuff and we had a pixel issue, but we can look right there and see what we spent. And the big shift we made was being able to analyze our data at that kind of level. In a $20,000 launch, it's whatever. In a $174,000 launch, it's a totally different game. And it's all about really getting clear on what it takes. So it's not that planning is more important or less important. It's always important. It's the micro level of data that you get involved in that takes you to the next level. And I think that perfectly brings us to the next strategy, which is scaling one thing at a time. So I see this trend a lot as people approach the $5,000 to $10,000 a month level. That's kind of where you start to get to the point where you're creating financial and time freedom, right? If you're making $100,000 a year in your business, let's say it's your first year, even if you're at 50% profit, that's $50,000 a year kind of take home. Even after taxes, you know, you've still got a healthy chunk of change, right? If you're by yourself and you're single, that's kind of enough to live on. If you're in a two-person household and both people are working, it kind of brings some money in. You know, obviously every situation is different, so please do not hear me saying, if you make $50,000 a year take home from your business, you have enough to go full-time, right? Everybody's different. Everybody has a different budget. Everybody has different financial requirements for their household. But we know that about that $100,000 level, that's kind of when people break into doing this full time, right? It's just an observation, very anecdotal. But as people approach that level, here's what we see. Well, my launch worked so well with Facebook ads and webinars. I think my next step is YouTube ads. Now, to me, that's a big red flag. And it's something I've done before too. Why is it a red flag? Because it's stopping what works to learn something that may or may not help. So I always like to tell people, as you start to scale your business, focus on the one strategy that's really helping you and max that out before you move to something else. What that really means is, look, if your Facebook ads are crushing it for your webinars or your launches, don't switch over to YouTube ads until you physically can't spend more on Facebook ads. And yes, that happens. We went through our launch. Let's reference that one in February. We set a budget of $25,000. We were only able to spend $15,000, right? We ran into some issues spending. So we had $10,000 just kind of sitting there. Now, we didn't even spend on a new type of ad the next launch. Instead, we figured out, okay, why couldn't we spend that money? What happened? How do we fix it? And in our most recent launch, we did spend over $20,000, right? Now, as we get to a point where we're running more and more ads, now we're starting to look at other stuff because we're now struggling to spend the money we need. So now we've decided to say, okay, what about Google ads? What about YouTube ads? What about some of these other strategies, right? A lot of people I talk to, they have a great launch and it's super exciting. And then they go, okay, so for my next launch, I'm going to do YouTube videos and I'm also going to do Facebook Messenger bots. And then I'm going to really leverage Instagram ads, even though I hadn't run them before. And before you realize it, you're stacking all of these strategies onto something that works. And it's like, you don't have to do that. Peel away the excess. Really streamline one strategy and go from there. Because I promise you, whatever strategy you pick, there's someone killing it in that niche that can show you. You want to use Pinterest? Melissa Griffin, Ezra Firestone. I mean, there are people slaying with Pinterest marketing who sell courses, who sell physical products, who sell services across the board. You want to use Instagram? Jasmine Starr is killing it. Tyler J. McCall is killing it with Instagram. I mean, there are people with focusing on one strategy as the majority of their business, and they're absolutely slaying. So before you try adding something else because you want to take it to the next level, ask yourself, have I maxed out my strategy right now? Once you max out a strategy, and again, that's going to vary, right? Whatever you're doing, there's a point where you max out, right? But when you hit that point where the strategy you've implemented, you can't take it to the next level, or you can't scale it any further, or you can't do any more with it, then you add in a new strategy. And as a note, as you add in more strategies, you need more people to keep track of them, right? If I'm on Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook, I can't manage all three every single day and still do the day-to-day stuff that needs to get done if I'm still working day-to-day in my business. I may need to hire a team member to manage the Instagram. I may need to hire a team member to manage the Pinterest, right? And when we dabbled with Pinterest because we played with it and we haven't decided if we want to use it as a full-time strategy or not, I had to hire somebody because I didn't have the time to create all the images. So every time you add a new strategy to your business, it costs. It costs time, it costs money, it costs training. And every time you scale a strategy, it's a lower cost because you don't have to learn, because you don't have to retrain if you're working with the same team. So let me just recap where we're at this point, because I've got a couple of more kind of strategies that we used. And again, to kind of pinpoint, like, when do these strategies really become useful? Around that $5,000 to $10,000 a month level. But certainly you can learn these as you're getting started, and they're going to help you achieve that level as well. So the first strategy was, number one, not trying to launch back to back to back to back to back in order to scale, but rather spacing out launches, planning them, warming up my audience, and then doing a big launch maybe once a quarter. And the second was really planning out that launch, the schedule, and the KPIs, the key performance indicators, down to a science almost, to the point where I know how much money I want to make, what that's going to cost me in ads, how much I want to spend on ads, how many leads I need, what I want to convert at, what my cost should be, and how many people on the team I need. And we turn that all into our master reference file so that we know exactly what the launch is going to look like before it ever starts. Then strategy number three is scaling one thing at a time and not adding the shiny objects, right? If you're slaying it with webinars and Facebook ads, wait until you cap out with that strategy before you start adding Pinterest and YouTube ads. One strategy at a time. And I want to add a big asterisk to that, which is to say, it doesn't mean you can't try new things. It doesn't mean you can't dabble with Pinterest for a week. What it does mean is before you say, oh shoot, I'm stuck, I need a new strategy, make sure what you're already doing has been scaled to the max, right? We love to test new stuff out and we add stuff to launches all the time, but it's being careful that you're not saying, well, this launch was great, here's 40 things we're going to do next time, right? Now, the fourth thing was we started responding to the market, not to my experience. So we've created a number of products. And one thing that I really love about Heart, Soul, and Hustle, and that I'm kind of proud of, if you'll allow me 30 seconds to kind of toot my own horn, is that we get really, really great reception when we create a course. We've never really had a hard time selling out a beta program. Anytime we've considered creating a course, we sell out the beta. Anytime we create a mini course or a course, you know, we sell a few dozen copies right off the bat. I've done a couple of live events that we've filled up, you know, but why do we get really great, you know, feedback on our offers? Well, because we learned that you have to respond to the market, not your experience. So if I was quite honestly going to like create a course purely based off my experience, it would be like, okay, here is how to scale your business from 100K a year to 500K a year. And here's how to plan. And here is like one thing that would be super important to teach would be money management. So I probably want to talk about profit first. And then, you know, the stuff that matters to me, like, here's the big thing. If I think about what my experience is, I wouldn't be talking about building a list. I wouldn't be talking about opt-ins. Probably wouldn't even really be talking about digital courses too much. But it's not about what I want. And this was just a huge revelation for me. As you scale your business, you have to stop selling things based on what you know and start serving your audience's needs and wants. And so how do we do this? We ask a lot of questions. I post questions in my Facebook group. I send surveys to my list. When I'm at events, I make notes of what people are saying. I was at an event earlier this year in California where I got to be in a room with kind of my target audience, if you will. I was invited and it was a really great event. And this happened again when I was in Australia, and I just listen to what people are saying. I do. And we were listening in this group when I was in California, and we just kept hearing people say, like, I just need to find a way to automate and scale this. And I just kept hearing those two words, automate, scale, automate, scale, automate, scale. And it led to the creation of this beta course we had around automation and scaling. Now, that course is still in beta. We're not planning to release it in the very near future. We're actually still working with that small group of beta students, and I'm kind of analyzing some of their feedback and figuring things out and restructuring. But it took us about a week and a half from that event to sell out the beta. And we actually decided to open up that beta offer, so to speak, to start getting people into it while I was at that event. Because I was literally sitting there saying, this is what they want. This is a room of my target audience. All I have to do is listen and respond to their needs. So often as the expert, we know what we want to teach. We know what people need, so to speak, to learn, right? And I know that sometimes, you know, you get the bad rap for saying, like, you know, give them what they need and sell them what they want, right? But a perfect example here is, like, if I taught financial literacy, right? If I was like, hey, business owners, module one is how to manage your launch money, people wouldn't buy. Why? Because people need to want to learn how to manage the money that comes in from a launch. I can't force people to want that. What's more important to them is generating the money from the launch. Now, does that mean that I can't, in my course, add a module on financial literacy and give them the things they need in there as well as showing them how to launch? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We don't have a lot on financial literacy because there's rules and regulations around teaching people how to manage their money. But you have to make sure you're responding to what your market wants and what they're telling you they need, not just what you know. And that's such a big one. And it's this subtle shift that makes a world of difference as you're building up the business. The last strategy is one that gets me ridiculously excited, which is number five, I joined a mastermind. And I joined a mastermind at the end of 2015 because I had just kind of achieved this kind of milestone in my business, but I was working 80 hours a week. I was exhausted. I'd kind of already talked about this, but my launches had kind of capped out. And so I started looking around for, you know, what is the next step? And I didn't know if I wanted to work with a coach. I hadn't worked with a coach up to this point, but I knew that I needed some higher level support. And I started shopping around and I ended up joining a mastermind with James Wedmore, who I talk about on the show. I'm an affiliate for one of his high-level courses. I absolutely rave about the guy and his mastermind because that mastermind changed everything. And in that first year, we saw a 300% growth in the business, right? From 100K to over 300K. And we're into the next year. We're in the middle of it, but we're kind of on track right now for another, you know, 80% growth this year. And it could be even higher. And I like to share those numbers a little bit, not to be like, whoa, look at this, but to show the value of having these kind of other eyes on your business, which is incredible. And to get super clear on what a mastermind is and isn't, because, you know, there's all these things about what is a mastermind, what isn't a mastermind. And when I'm talking about a mastermind, here's what it is for me. It's a group of people, kind of elite, so to speak. And by elite, it doesn't mean financially elite or they're better than everybody else. It means usually it's application only, right? And that might sound silly and you might be like, well, why does it matter if there's an application? Well, because number one, an application means everybody joining is getting screened. So you know you're going to end up in a group with great people, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is it has opportunity for both peer and facilitator feedback. So most masterminds have what's called a hot seat. And a hot seat is where you come in, usually at a live event. Sometimes it's actually like at a virtual, like a Zoom call, where you have a hot seat and you just talk about where you're stuck. Where am I stuck in my business? And what you do is you get a whole room of people who have no, you know, personal investment in your business, so to speak. They give you honest feedback on what you're not seeing. And it's just a way to see your blind spots. And a great example of this is, you know, I was in my mastermind talking about my launches, talking about where we were stuck. And somebody said, well, why don't you just have somebody manage your Facebook ads during a launch if that's stressing you out? And like that hadn't even crossed my mind because I had a Facebook ads course. If I have a course, how could I possibly have an ads person if I'm teaching Facebook ads? And they were like, you know, that's a limiting belief. Here's your blind spot. Like, you're very stressed out during your launches because you're managing ads and you're managing emails and you're managing this. And I was like, okay. So I brought in an ads person and I've been working with them for, gosh, over a year now. And that's changed my whole life, not just my business. That changed my life because I still go in and run Facebook ads. I actually ran some ads yesterday. It's fun, right? But when I'm stressed or, for example, you know, in a week and a half, I'm going to be on a cruise ship and I won't be able to manage my ads, I can have someone do that for me. And it sounds so silly, but sometimes these answers are right in front of you, but they're in a blind spot. Just like when you're driving your car, right? The answer could be right there, but if it's hidden, you can't see it. But everyone around you can see your blind spots. And that's a game changer. The last thing that makes a mastermind so huge is that when you're in a room of people with similar and like-minded goals, it's a safe space. And so the mastermind that I'm in, we have a Facebook group and there's kind of a cone of silence, if you will, about what happens in the mastermind. So I can't tell you exactly what we're talking about there and there. But what I can tell you is that it's a place for us to be vulnerable and to be honest with each other and to say, look, this is where I'm stuck. This is what I don't know. This is how I feel. To talk about your numbers in a place where people aren't going to judge you for your financial success or financial blunders. People don't judge for what's happening. Instead, you've got a room of people all trying to rise to the top together. It's that old adage of a rising tide lifts all ships, right? You're all ascending together. And you start forming these deeper business relationships and deeper connections with people. You know, one of my best friends now was actually in my first mastermind with me. So it just does all of these things for you in so many different ways. But a mastermind forces you to play it at another level. And the last little piece I will say on this mastermind is that they are generally a five-figure investment. Now, they're all at different levels, but when you're talking about working in a room of, you know, a dozen people, so to speak, you're talking about anywhere from a $15,000 to a $25,000 investment to work with these people at a higher level, right? When I joined my mastermind, I believe I paid like $20,000 because I paid in full, right? And it was 25 if you did a payment plan, and like I think the price is even going to go up, right? But there is something so powerful, and I love when James Wedmore says this. He says the transformation is in the transaction. When you invest $15,000 or $20,000 into a program, you show up and you show up 100%. It's kind of like when you buy a new car, and for that first 6 months to a year, like, you keep that thing so clean, it's insane. People are like, you're like, I have a brand new car, it's so clean. But it's that investment, that skin in the game at such an advanced level that you're like, I will show up. I will do what it takes. And when you combine all those things together of, number one, a group of people that support you and see your blind spots. Number two, a group of elite skill set, whether, and that's everybody in the room has their own unique skill set. You combine that with a high level transformation and quality and protected relationships, and you're setting yourself up to catapult your growth. I can honestly say, like, joining a mastermind, that was the game changer for my business. Everything turned a corner because when I don't know what to do, I go to my mastermind. When I feel stuck, I go to my mastermind. When I'm having a panic attack or a breakdown or I don't know what's happening at a launch, I go to my mastermind. And I can honestly tell you, we did a webinar. In our biggest launch ever, we did this webinar. It tanked. I reached out to the mastermind, was like, what the heck happened? And with their help, we turned it around and it was our biggest launch ever. And it's just that value of having other people. I just want to make a little asterisk here, which is, look, I know peer masterminds are awesome. I've been in peer masterminds. They can be absolutely incredible. But here's the thing. There is something to be said about that financial investment and being in a targeted and focused mastermind, okay? When everybody in the room has invested a lot and has gotten through an application process and has a quality skill they bring to the table, that is what brings it to the next level. So just to run through those again, number one, long-term launch planning, not trying to launch back-to-back. Strategy number two, forecasting the launch and setting goals and KPIs. Number three is focusing in on strategies until the strategies don't serve you or can't be scaled anymore, aka avoiding shiny object syndrome. Strategy number four is stop, taking your experience and trying to sell it, and start responding to your market with your experience and try to sell that. And then finally, number five, join a mastermind. Like, seriously, a mastermind is a total game changer. Now, at the beginning, I told you that I had some really exciting news that I would share at the end. So if you stuck with me this far, shout out to you. Here is my big exciting news. At the end of this year, I am going to be opening up a 6-month mastermind, and I'm really, really excited about it. And we're calling it the Your Biggest Launch Ever Mastermind. And it's going to be a 6-month experience. It's not an online course. It's not a one-time thing, but it's actually going to be a 6-month experience where we're going to do all kinds of stuff together. You're going to get one-on-one time with me to create a launch plan and a business plan for the 6 months that we're in it. We're going to have live events and meetups where we'll actually connect in person, and we'll be in a room with incredible entrepreneurs that are just doing amazing things. We're going to have monthly calls, ongoing support. There's going to be really strategic training. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but here's what you can do if you want to check it out. If you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/mastermind, you can drop your name and email, and we'll let you know when we officially open up applications. Now, we're finalizing some stuff right now, so applications are not quite open to the public, but our wait list is. And if you want to be the first one to put in an application, you absolutely want to head over to that link and drop your name and email. We've also got some information on there, a little teaser video of what my events are like, you know, a couple of testimonials if you want to head over and get some more basic information. But head over to heartsoulhustle.com/mastermind, drop your name and email, and if it's a great fit, you'll be the first one to be able to put in an application, okay? Now, I can't even tell you how excited I am about that, but again, go check it out. For now, I'll leave you with these two thoughts. Number one, of course, if you want to get our show notes, heartsoulhustle.com/77, and we will have a link over to that mastermind waitlist if you want to check it out. And number two, I want to leave you with this thought of, look, what got you here won't get you there. And I learned this from my mastermind, from James Wedmore. So this is not my own personal thoughts. I'll be the first one to tell you this, but what got you here won't get you there. You know, what got me to 100 grand was hustle, grit, determination, pulling all-nighters, working into the wee hours of the morning to do whatever it takes to sell something. That got me my first 6 figures, right? That's not what took me to the next level. That's not what scaled my courses to 750K in sales. What got me there was changing the way I operated, planning more effectively, planning my launches and actually setting metrics to achieve, scaling my focus, working with higher level entrepreneurs inside of a mastermind. These are the things that change the game. And so if you're not sure, you think, oh my gosh, this is so different from what I'm doing, that's okay. Because what got you to where you are now will not get you to where you want to go. And it's just so important that you constantly question what you're doing and ask yourself honestly, without reservation, hey, is this going to get me to the level I want to play at? So ask yourself, is what you're doing right now going to take you to the level you want to get to, or is it going to keep you where you are? So with that thought, I will leave you until next week. I hope you have an incredible week, that you get some strategies out there, you break out of your comfort zone, and hopefully you drop your name and email on that wait list, and there's a chance I will see you in my Your Biggest Launch Ever Mastermind. Have an incredible week, Heart Hustler. Keep hustling, and we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.